Turn with me in your Bibles this evening, again to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel and chapter 16. And last week we were impressed to go back from the beginning and do a review down through verse 40. And we had titled the message last week and again this week, God's Purpose in Judging Jerusalem. And last week it was a fitting title because as we went through the review, of course, we reviewed her despicable beginnings, her birth and her nativity. As one left to die, she was dead. If it had not been for God looking upon her in love and compassion and showering her with great blessings untold, and will not go back over all those again this week. But we saw as we approached verse 40 and concluded with verse 40 last week that she had done as a woman who, or a man, husband, who is unfaithful to the spouse, are guilty of committing whoredoms, adultery. Jerusalem had played the harlot. She had left God, had no desire for God, but desired the gods of the nations round about them. And in fact, as we went through that and went through it as we studied it, and then again in review last week, she had an insatiable desire, an insatiable thirst for those gods. Or as God called them, lovers. She was a harlot. She adulterated against God. And so that brings us to part of God's purpose in judging Jerusalem, but the ultimate end and purpose is judging Jerusalem was to put a stop to this harlotry, to put a stop to this adultery. So let's read verses 41, 42, and 43 this evening. And they shall build a nine house. That is after verse 40 said they're going to be stoned with stones, just as an adulterous woman or man is stoned with stones. Jerusalem was going to be stoned with stones by those that he brought in from the north to exercise his judgment upon her. And they shall burn thine house with fire and execute judgments upon thee in the sight of many women. And I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot. Note that. And I will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot, and thou also shalt give no hire any more. So will I make my fury toward thee to rest, and my jealousy shall depart from thee, and I will be quiet, and I will be no more angry, because thou hast not remembered the day of thy youth, but hast fretted me in all these things. Behold, therefore, I also will recompense thy way upon thine head, saith the Lord God. And thou shalt not commit this lewdness above all mine abominations. So we see in these verses the purpose of God to put an end, to cause her to cease from playing the harlot, that his anger might be appeased, his wrath might be appeased, and she would be ceased from committing all this lewdness. This lewdness, this adultery, this harlotry was not that of a physical nature. She wasn't going around and grabbing every male off the street that she could, or every female off the street that she could, to play the harlot or to play the adulterer. This harlotry, this adultery, was spiritual. It was spiritual immorality. Trusting, leaving God, and trusting in human instrumentality instead of trusting in God. I ask you again tonight, what can man do? What can man do? If God be against it, what can man do? Man can't do a thing. God is the sovereign. God is the omnipotent one. He is the almighty. We're just merely His creation. And yes, there have been some mighty, mighty men, powerful men, but they can only go as far as God will allow them to go. So this is spiritual immorality that we're talking about, this adultery, this harlotry, this fornicating, adulterating against God, is going away from God and trusting in men. And it happens. It happens in the world, in the religious world. People follow men rather than trusting in God and following God. It happens in our churches, in the Lord's churches. They fall in love with the pastor. He's a great and wonderful speaker, dynamic speaker. Oh, he's so good. Don't look at the man. Don't look at his delivery. But look at the Word of God, that which he preaches. Is he preaching the truth? Is he standing by the truth? Is he living the truth? Is he inciting, encouraging you to follow the truth of God's Word, to follow God? Not only with your mouth, not only with your lips, but by your life as well. Once Jerusalem is destroyed, they would no longer be able to worship idols or participate in immoral rituals. And yes, there leaving God spiritually, a spiritual immorality of leaving God, it transposed into their physical lives. We saw that in the fact that they took their sons and their daughters. And they offered them as a sacrifice upon the altar of Baal. To Baal. And there's even the indication that they ate their flesh. As they were to eat the flesh of the sacrifice offered to God, there's an indication that in their sacrifices offered to Baal upon the altar of Baal, they then ate the flesh of those sons and daughters. They committed immoral practices, rituals of the fertility gods. They worship them. Let me ask you, who's the fertility god? Who is the god of fertility? Who is the god that blesses the womb? Who's the god that shuts up the womb? Is it not God? Who was it that opened Rachel's womb? Leah had how many children? Rachel, none. She even had a couple by a handmaid, given her six, I think, if I remember correct. God opened Rachel's womb. What about Samuel's mother, Hannah? Her womb was shut. And she, in urgent prayer to God, begged for a son. And God opened her womb. They should have been worshiping the one true God, the ever-living God, the existing God, the ever-existing God, instead of mother perceived fertility God. No more. There would be no more government. Once God's wrath is poured out, there would be no more government there to seek the help of other nations. I mean, the kings and the princes and all, they're carried away. If not killed, carried away into captivity. No one there to seek the help of other nations. In fact, at that point in time, other nations are powerless to do anything. Even if there was one left, the others are powerless to do anything. God. Notice that it is God that will cause it to cease. And I will cause, verse 31, and I will cause, God, God, will cause thee to cease from playing the harlot. Turn me to the 23rd chapter of the book of Ezekiel. The 23rd chapter. And look with me here at verse 27. 23 and verse 27. Thus will I make thy lewdness to cease. Thus will I, God, Jehovah, make thy lewdness to cease from thee, and thy whoredom brought from the land of Egypt, so that thou shalt not lift up thine eyes unto them, nor remember Egypt anymore. He says here, I will cause thy lewdness to cease, and the whoredom which thou brought out of Egypt with you. I have learned enough about Egypt and their gods during the times of Israel and their stay in Egypt and even afterwards and such. It seems as though there was not a god that they did not worship. If it was in the heavens, they worshiped. If it was on the earth, they worshiped it. That was the Egyptians. And it would seem here from from this passage in the book of Ezekiel that Israel and now Judah brought them right on out of Egypt with them. And God said, I'll make them to cease. Turn with me to the 37th chapter. The 37th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. And look with me at verse 23. Neither shall they defile themselves anymore with their idols, nor with their detestable things, nor with any of their transgressions. But I will save them out of all their dwelling places wherein they have sinned, and will cleanse them. So shall they be my people, and I will be their God. Who's going to do all this? Who's going to cause them to cease from all of this? Who is going to cause them to give up their idols and their detestable things? God said, I am going to. He said, I am going to cleanse them. The Lord is going to do it. Turn with me back to the book of Isaiah. The book of Isaiah, chapter 2 and verse 18. And the idols he shall utterly abolish. Who's going to abolish the idols? God is. When his wrath is poured and he brings in the army from the north, they're going to destroy their idols, their high places. The city is going to be destroyed. We've seen that already. Turn with me to the book of Micah. The book of Micah. In chapter 5. Look with me at verse 10. Actually, we'll read verses 10 through 14. Micah chapter 5, 10 through 14. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord, that I, the Lord, will cut off thy horses out of the midst of thee, and I will destroy thy chariots. All those things trusted in and prided themselves in, he's gonna cause them to cease. He's gonna cut them off. And I will cut off the cities of thy land, and throw down all thy strongholds, and I will cut off witchcrafts out of thine hand. Thou shalt have no more soothsayers. Just to pause here for a moment. Do you understand that witchcraft and soothsayers, fortune tellers, That has no place in the people of God's lives. It has no place in the house of the Lord. That's satanic. That's not God's. They're not worshiping God. They're worshiping the powers of Satan, the devil. Thy graven images also will I cut off, and thy standing images out of the midst of thee. And thou shalt no more worship the work of thine hands. And I will pluck up thy groves out of the midst of thee. So will I destroy thy cities. Who's going to do it? The Babylonians are going to do it. But whose servants are the Babylonians? They're God's servant. God is bringing them. He's using an evil nation, an evil king, to bring His wrath, His judgment, upon His people who have turned their back from Him. They have gone a-whoring away from Him. They've gone a-whoring after other gods. And not worshiping the Lord God Jehovah. Another passage in the book of Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 13. Look with me in verse 2. And it shall come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will... I'm going to pause here a minute. Notice that He's the Lord. He's Jehovah of hosts. Everything is at His disposal. He has a host of armies in heaven and earth that He can call against them. And it come to pass in that day, saith the Lord of hosts, that I will cut off the names of the idols out of the land, and they shall no more be remembered, and also will cause the prophets and the unclean spirit to pass out of the land. Those prophets that didn't prophesy the word of the Lord, they prophesied falsehoods, the evil spirits. Jehovah says He's going to cause them to cease out of the land. I want to bring this over into the New Testament for our thinking. 1 Timothy chapter 5. Look at a verse that we have here. And this is what the young pastor, Timothy, was told to exercise in the church setting, in the Lord's kind of church. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse 20. He said, them that sin. What is sin? It is breaking the law of God. Sin is to go away from God. And it's to do your own thing. It's not to do the will of God. It's not to do the commandments of God. That's what sin is. Them that sin, rebuke before all. Why? That they may repent of their sin, and that others also may fear and repent, or not do likewise. Ties right in there with the Old Testament, doesn't it? Ties right in there with God's wrath coming and judgment coming upon Jerusalem that we've been looking at. So that others might fear. So that others might not do likewise. So that others might repent and not do as they have done. Purpose of God's judging Jerusalem was to those things that were evil, their harlotry, their adultery, their lewdness might cease. But it is also to satisfy the wrath of God, the wrath of God's holy and righteous nature. Turn with me back to the book of Ezekiel. The book of Ezekiel, chapter 16, and notice that in verse 42. He said, "So will I make my fury toward thee to rest." Well, if his fury rests, what is that? That means his fury, his wrath, his anger has been appeased. It's been satisfied. "And my jealousy shall depart from thee, and I will be quiet, and will be no more angry." You see, that verse 42 is a picture of Jehovah being satisfied. Because all those things have ceased. They're done. They're put away. And now he is satisfied. He's at rest. He's at peace. His jealousy has subsided. His anger is quiet. And he will be no more angry. So it was to satisfy the wrath of God's holy and righteous nature. The book of Ezekiel, and go with me back to the seventh chapter. Turn with me back to the seventh chapter of Ezekiel. And look with me at verse 4. God here speaking through Ezekiel, "And mine eye shall not spare thee, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense thy ways on thee, and thine abominations shall be in the midst of thee. And ye shall know that I am the Lord, that I am Jehovah, that I am holy, I am righteous, and I am just in all my ways and in all my doings." That is, they might know that. That even God in His anger, in His wrath, in His judgment that He's going to pour out upon them, He's still a God of holiness and a God of righteousness. Turn with me to the ninth chapter. The ninth chapter, and look with me here at verse 10 of the ninth chapter. "And as for me also, mine eye shall not spare, neither will I have pity, but I will recompense their way upon their head." Why is he going to repay their way upon their head? Because he's a holy God. He's the holy God. He is the righteous God. He cannot tolerate sin, evil, and wickedness, rebellion against him. Not even in his people can he tolerate it. Can he stand it? Turn with me to the 11th chapter. The 11th chapter. Look with me here at verse 21. "But as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, I will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith God." You see, We had seen this at least three times before we got to the 16th chapter. That is just some. But turn with me now to the book of Hosea. Hosea in chapter 9. And look with me at verse 7 of the 9th chapter. Notice what the word of the Lord to Hosea was. The days of visitation are come. What's come? The days when God is going to visit their iniquities. The days that God's wrath is going to come. His judgment is going to come upon them. The days of recompense are come. Israel shall know it. The prophet is a fool. The spiritual, no, notice that. The spiritual man is mad. He's raging out like a madman. For the multitude of thine iniquity and the great hatred. He says, the day of visitation has come. The day of my wrath has come. The day of recompense has come. It's here. Upon my people. Those that were prophets, those that were supposed to be my prophets, but they prophesied not my word. They prophesied their own words. It wasn't his words, it wasn't the Lord's words. The spiritual man that was supposed to be spiritual, was supposed to be leading the nation in spirituality, in the ways of the Lord, in the things of God, in the commandments of God. They were raging about as a madman. God said, it's time for recompense upon them. Turn with me to the book of Isaiah in chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30, 27. Behold, notice this. Behold, the name of the Lord cometh. From far, burning with his anger, and the burden thereof is heavy. His lips are full of indignation, and his tongue has a devouring fire. The name of the Lord, the name of Jehovah, the Holy One, the Righteous One, the Just One. The God of anger. Righteous indignation. Righteous anger. Against sin. Against the wickedness of his people. Turn with me to the book of Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 10. And then verse 10. But the Lord, Jehovah, is the true God. See that? Is the true God. He is the true Holy One. He is the true Righteous One. He is the true Just One. You want to know what holiness is? Learn about God. You want to know what righteousness is? Learn about God. You want to know what justice is? Learn about God. And all His provisions. He is the living God. The ever-living God. What are all these gods that Judah had been worshiping? What are all those gods that Israel had worshiped? those things which were made with man's hands. But the images of those things were created by the living God, the ever-living God, the Creator God. And an everlasting king. Everlasting king. How long is he going to reign king? Forever. He's king over all the earth and heaven. Forever. He shall reign. And his wrath, the earth shall tremble. And the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Yes, the nations shall not be able to abide his indignation. Also, the purpose of God's judging Jerusalem is to execute true justice. Back in our text, in the book of Ezekiel, in chapter 16 and verse 43, because thou hast not remembered the days of thy youth, but hast fretted me in all these things, behold, therefore I also will recompense thy way upon thy head, saith the Lord God, and thou shalt not commit this lewdness above all thine abominations. The city, and citizens would receive the full payment for their sins. Each person would have to bear the consequences of his or her sins. Jerusalem had forgotten God. They've been charged that in verse 22 and now in verse 43. But they would remember him. They had forgotten him, but they would remember him when his hand of wrath falls upon them. Turn to the book of Hebrews. The book of Hebrews in chapter 10. In verse 30. For we know him. Who is he speaking to? He's speaking to Hebrews. Saved Hebrews. Those who have been saved. Redeemed. Purchased from the slave market of sin. For we know him that hath said, vengeance belongeth unto me. I will recompense, saith the Lord. And again, the Lord shall judge his people. His people. He shall judge his people. They're guilty of sin. They go away from him. They follow their own ideas, their own lusts, their own passions. They will not obey the commandments of God, his commandments. They'll not walk according to his way. They will not repent of their evil doings. He'll judge them. Oh, not to the cutting away. Not to the putting away. The cutting them off eternally. Remember, the passage in three passages in that we looked at about the Lord will recompense. And they shall know that He is the Lord, that He is the Holy One, the Just, the Righteous One, the Just One. Chapter 11, verse 21, but as for them whose heart walketh after the heart of their detestable things and their abominations, will recompense their way upon their own heads, saith the Lord God. Judah was His people. Israel was His wife. He didn't cut her off forever. But He chastised her, and she's abiding under His chastisement still. Until one day, they're going to remember Him. They're going to remember Him. They're going to remember what He did for them. They're going to remember how they went away from Him. They're going to remember what they did to Him. Book of Isaiah chapter 54. Book of Isaiah in chapter 54. And look at verse 9. For this is as the waters of Noah unto me. And what God's saying about His judgment. His judgment upon Israel, upon Judah. It's as the waters of Noah, the judgment. The days of Noah. That God poured out upon the whole earth. For as I have sworn that the waters of Noah should no more go over the earth, cover the whole earth as they did in the days of Noah, so have I sworn that I would not be wroth with thee nor rebuke thee. And see, there's a day coming. There's a day coming. His wrath toward Israel and Judah is going to be satisfied. It's going to be pacified. And He will no more act in wrath and judgment toward them again. Verse 10 says, for the mountains shall depart and the hills be removed, but my kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall the covenant of my peace be removed, saith the Lord that hath mercy on thee. You see, the Lord God is going to be merciful. Romans chapter 3 and in verse 25 talks about Jesus Christ being the propitiation, being appeasing the wrath of God for His people, for those that would believe upon Him, those who would have faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, trust in His shed blood on the cross of Calvary. And His wrath, eternal wrath, has been appeased by the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ for His people. But turn with me to the book of 1 John. The book of 1 John in chapter 2, in verse 2. And He is the propitiation of our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world. He's the propitiation for sins for people from every tongue, tribe, and nation, representing the whole world. That's concerning His eternal wrath, His eternal judgment for His people. The wrath of God eternally has been satisfied for His people. Turn with me now to chapter 4. And look with me here at verse 10. Herein is love. Not that we loved God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. I'm so glad tonight that God's eternal wrath has been appeased been satisfied in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ for me? Has it for you? Well, while it's been appeased, his eternal wrath has been appeased. We don't have to fear suffering that. There's a fearful looking forward to judgment and fiery indignation of the Lord for those who walk in disobedience to Him that are His people. Part of what many Old Testament scriptures talk about as a father chasteneth his son, so the Lord chasteneth us. Hebrews chapter 12 talks about chastening of His people. What's it about? It's because we turn away from Him and we sin. And we won't repent of our sin. And so He whips us. He scourges us. If we won't listen to His rebuke, to His exhortation. Why? To bring us back into the right way. To bring us back into holiness and righteousness. To let us know that we're a child of His. And as a father whips his child, he doesn't cease to be his child, but he whips him for disobedience. So God our Father chastises us for our disobedience. Israel, Judah, went away from God, would not repent, would not return unto Him. And so He's scourged her, He's chastised her. But one day she'll remember. She'll remember. He'll cause her to remember, and she'll cease from all her lewdness. She'll cease from her harlotry and her adultery. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, let us repent of our going astray. Let us repent of our going away from God. Repent of our sins toward God. Shall we pray?